This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to episode 5 this week of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. Louis DiBiase joining you. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any platform, 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to LOE. You can also check out the show on LockedOnEagles.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're always talking birds after the show at DiBiase LOE. My co-host Gino Camilleri is at Gino_LOE. Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, I want to get into a bigger picture type of episode, right? The Eagles obviously have a must-win Sunday night football matchup tomorrow night against the San Francisco 49ers. They get to play a backup quarterback in Nick Mullins. The Niners are pretty banged up just like the Eagles, although they will have Debo Samuel back, of course, and George Kittle. Meanwhile, the Eagles are down to Greg Ward and John Hightower, Travis Fulgham, and Deontay Burnett at receiver. Jason Peters today was placed on IR with a toe injury. I'll eat crow on that whole situation. I thought paying JP to play left tackle was the right move. It clearly was not, so I was obviously wrong in that situation. The Eagles now are going to have to look to Jordan Mailata at left tackle. So, of course, it's not looking good. But at the same time, the Eagles, to salvage this season, they do need to win on Sunday night against San Francisco to get to 1-2-1. Right now, they're 0-2-1. They're only a half a game back from the NFC East lead. So this season is far from over, despite the NFL's toughest remaining schedule being in Philadelphia. The Eagles have the toughest remaining schedule in the league, and considering the hole they're in, all the holes they have across the roster, the injuries, just the awful play, regardless, this season can still be turned around. That is for certain, considering the division they're in, and considering the NFC this year will have 7 playoff teams, and as opposed to 6, which is traditionally how many get in. So it is salvageable. The question I want to get into today is, should we want the Eagles to salvage this season? Should we want, I mean, because obviously it's doable. You're only a half a game back in the NFC East. You could win this division maybe, realistically, at 7-8 wins. I mean, you think the Dallas Cowboys are probably the favorite right now at 1-2, and they're a crazy Atlanta collapse and a botched onside kick away from also being 0-3. And Washington is, you know, a 17-point comeback in the first game of the season against Philadelphia away from also being 0-3. So this division is terrible. You might be able to win it at 7-8 wins, realistically. So the Eagles could still get into the playoffs, but now the question is, does it even matter at this point? Do we want them to do what they did in 2019 and run the table in the final 4 games and get in and win the NFC East at 9-7? Do we want them to get the 6th seed like they did in 2018 at 9-7 and win those final 3 games and get out of a hole, a similar hole that they're in right now? Although right now they're in a hole early on that normally they're not in. You know, they struggle throughout the year, the past couple of years, but they haven't been in a situation where they're 0-2-1. They haven't had a winless first 3 games since 1999. So this is uncharted, unique territory for the Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz era of Eagles football. But nonetheless, the season is salvageable. My question is, do we care? Does it matter? Is making the playoffs like the last 2 years worth it, or would it simply just cover up a lot of the issues that we're seeing with this team over the first 3 weeks of the season? Some of which we kind of knew were there, some of which we didn't. You know, I thought this team was good enough to be a top 3 seed in the NFC. I thought they were vastly improved on both sides of the football. And not to say that we don't know for certain that they're not. The injuries have not allowed this team to fully evaluate what this roster can be at full strength, but I don't think the Eagles will ever be at full strength, and you can't use injuries really anymore as an excuse for the other issues of this football team. I kind of go back and forth with this. you know, I think if this team is ever healthy, and that maybe is, I don't even want to say that's a big if, because at this point, there it might not even be a possibility, honestly, when you think about how it's progressed worse and worse every single year when it comes to the Eagles and their health. But if they're ever healthy, I do think this team has the talent on both sides of the football to where they could do damage in the playoffs. And do we want that? Look, if Carson Wentz is going to be the answer long term, and I still believe he is, I'm not giving up on him after three games. Has he been the worst quarterback in football through the first 3 weeks of the season? Yeah, in most statistical categories, at least he is. But if Wentz is going to bounce back, if the Eagles want to bounce back, I should say, they need Carson Wentz to bounce back. He is going to be the quarterback for the foreseeable future with that contract. And so we got to be all in on getting number 11 right. That is the key here to turning around the season. It's not tanking for Trevor Lawrence. So that's part of the equation you got to ask yourself. Is draft position worth it? Or would you rather have this team, yeah, maybe squeak in only because the NFC East is lousy, but the result, though, of that product would still be that Carson Wentz gets playoff experience, something of which he still does not have. He has, what, three passing attempts in the postseason because Jadeveon Clowney cheap-shotted him out of that football game last year against Seattle. So I think the key still to this Eagles team turning it around, maybe it's not just this season, but maybe down the road in the next couple years, it's through still the play of Carson Wentz. And so I want that playoff experience for Wentz. And I think, again, you know, down the stretch, I think even last year, they were a week away from getting Lane Johnson back, DeSean Jackson. They would have been on the road if they beat Seattle in the wild card round and played Green Bay, and I think they could have won that football game. And I still think this team this year has the talent to where you can't just guarantee if they make the postseason, they're one and done. Anything can happen in the NFL. You saw a 7-9 Seattle Seahawks team beat the reigning Super Bowl champions in the New Orleans Saints. So I go back and forth. I would still want this team to make the postseason. However, at the same time, watching this year's team, like, I will admit that I think they have the talent to do some damage. I want that playoff experience for Carson Wentz. But at the same time, that's more based on just what they have on paper and what I've seen out of a lot of these guys over the past 3 years. This year so far on tape, there's been no signs of that spark that you've seen over the last 3 years. There's been no sign of that fight, that magic from the last three seasons, where even when they were 5-7 last year, I was thinking to myself, this season is not over. We have seen what this team is capable of in the face of adversity when they're backed into a corner. This year, though, I don't know if it's because they don't have guys like Malcolm Jenkins anymore, Nigel Bradham, Alshon Jeffrey's not out there, Brandon Brooks isn't out there, you know, now Jason Peters is going to be off the football field. I don't know if it's because they don't have a lot of that core anymore intact, or it's just because they're never even close to being healthy, but right now I don't see that team. And it's tough because I've said it this week, it's hard to cope with that because you still see a lot of those same guys out there. You see Carson Wentz, you see Doug Peterson on the sidelines, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, right? Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, Isaac Seumalo when he was out there. Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, you see a lot of those same guys that have been able to help this team turn things around over the past couple years, but I don't see that fight in them this year, that spark, and I just don't have confidence that they can turn it around. That's not to say that I don't want them to, and that I don't think it would be more productive for this football team long term as opposed to just getting a better draft pick, but right now I just don't see it, and they have a ton of holes, and that's the thing, no matter what, even if they make the playoffs this year, this team is a long ways away from being a consistent Super Bowl contender that we thought they were going to be year in and year out, right? The new normal, as Doug Peterson said at the Super Bowl parade in 2017, we thought this was going to be an every year occurrence. Now, I think even if they make the postseason this year, and even if they were to get a playoff win or make a deep run, they have a lot of holes where I don't think this is going to be a consistent thing. Even if Wentz bounces back, yeah, he's going to be able to elevate you and keep you at a certain floor of success every year. But if you're going to have the issues you have right now at linebacker, at wide receiver, on the offensive line, right? There's more questions on the offensive line than we thought. Jason Peters is done. Andre Dillard is an unknown. So that left tackle position long term, we have no idea what the Eagles have there. Brandon Brooks is coming off a second torn Achilles in 3 years. Lane Johnson battles injuries, although he's still incredible and elite, and he's been one of the best right tackles in football this year. You know, he's getting up there in age. Jason Kelce, every single year, we have to ask the question, is he going to retire? So there's holes on the offensive line, or potential future holes. It's safety still. They don't have that Malcolm Jenkins true difference maker. Hopefully it's Kayvon Wallace, but Roddy McLeod maybe has one more year left in Philadelphia. Jalen Mills is terrible. And we haven't seen what we have in Will Parks yet. So there's question marks there. There's question marks at corner. Although Darius Slay has been a true CB1, I don't think Avante Maddox is very good anymore. Nickell Roby-Coleman has not been good at all this year. Cravon LeBlanc, I love. He makes plays every time he's out there. But is he a true CB2? I'm not sure. That's the problem. There are more holes to this roster than we thought heading into the season. So regardless of if it's right for them to make the playoffs or not, there's holes long-term that they're going to have to address. There's holes, there's issues with this team from top to bottom that, again, regardless of the result of the 2020 season, they have to be addressed. I do want this team to make the playoffs still. I think they have the quarterback that is going to be their long-term future still. And so this season needs to be about getting him right. And I think in the end, the best result would be to get him playoff experience, even if it's just one and done and you made the playoffs at 8-7-1, right? Or 7-8-1, like the Carolina Panthers of 2014. I still am rooting for that because this team is still talented on paper, and you got it, while I have not seen it on the field at all this year, you got to hope eventually that that switch turns on again. You got to hope that these guys that have turned that switch on before still have what it takes. I doubt it as of right now, but look, I still think that's the best case scenario. I still think that's the thing we got to root for, but at the same time, know that even if that happens, Jeffrey Lurie's got to know that this organization needs change, regardless of the 2020 season. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Saturday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, and it's sponsored by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi is not made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com and check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Guys, today's Locked On Eagles is also sponsored by our good friends over at Built Go. They're coming from the same great folks over at Built Bar. Built Go is the solution to breaking through that wall, whether it's mental or a physical wall. For me, it's getting through that overnight radio shift. I work Sunday night through Thursday night, 10:30 p.m. to 5 a.m. Built Go is the healthy alternative replacement to whatever energy drink that you use. For me, Built Go gets me through the overnight shifts at the radio station. And again, it's whether it's for mental or that physical wall, break through it with Built Go. They've got three awesome flavors. My favorite is peanut butter honey. They've also got chocolate coconut if you're a coconut guy, or chocolate mint. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, and you'll get 30% off your next order. That's right, 30% off when you use the promo code LOCKED at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Saturday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. We're getting into a bigger picture topic now. Like, you know, obviously I said in segment one, I still want this team to make the playoffs. I want Carson Wentz to bounce back this year and show he's still that franchise guy that you paid over $100 million guaranteed. I want him to get that playoff experience. I still think this team is talented enough to where they have a chance if they make the postseason. At the same time, though, this team, speaking specifically about Jeffrey Lurie, because he's the only guy that's guaranteed to never go anywhere as the owner, he's got to know, I think, regardless of what the season's end result is that there's got to be significant change. What are those drastic steps? You know, last year, and I feel confident in Lurie that he knows this regardless of the results of seasons, because I think he saw, I mean, last year the Eagles made the postseason, and 2018 they made it, 3 years straight making the playoffs, you win a Super Bowl. A lot of teams would just kind of sit on their hands and say, let's just keep riding this. You know, obviously we have a good thing. We're struggling with certain areas, but you got to keep riding this. And where what I like about Lurie is I think that, and what I'm confident in him about is that this year, even if they make the playoffs, I think he'll know to take necessary steps to change this organization, because he did that last year. You know, again, they made the playoffs again. But Lurie made Doug Peterson fire Mike Groh, his offensive coordinator, even when Doug Peterson said he wasn't going to. He made Doug Peterson fire his wide receiver coach in Carson Walsh, and they made a lot of significant changes in their philosophy of team building. You know, they went more upside-based in the draft and through free agency. They went all out about speed. They changed their medical staff, so they recognized that even though they made the playoffs, there were issues. However, this year, I think those holes are even more apparent, and I think there's holes that have been created that I don't think the Eagles even knew they had heading into this season. So there's got to be even more drastic steps taken. Is that firing Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, Carson Wentz? I wouldn't do that. Maybe it's just firing Jim Schwartz. I think that's a big step you could have took at the end of the 2019 season. I thought it would have been very justified to let go of Jim Schwartz after the 2019 season, but they held on to him, so maybe that's the big move, is that defensively you switch things up and you get a new, you know, because that's an important role with the Eagles. Because you have an offensive-minded play-calling head coach like Doug Peterson, you kind of need like a head coach of the defense. And so that's a very important role to fill. And so I think that's something that could, I don't think that's like just a move that they want to make just to say they made a move, but not actually have real change implemented, right? Where some people may say, oh, that's, they just don't want to fire Doug or Howie or bench Carson, so they just used Jim Schwartz as a scapegoat. I don't think that would be the case. Number one, I think Schwartz needs to go, and I think that would be a lot of change. Because again, Jim Schwartz is the head coach of the defense, and he has a ton of say in personnel when it comes to the defensive side of the football. He handpicks a lot of those players out there, a.k.a. Nate Geary, a.k.a. Jalen Mills, Zach Brown last year instead of signing Jamie Collins, Ronald Darby, Nigel Bradham. Jim Schwartz has his hands on the defensive personnel side of things. And so I think that change would be significant for Jeffrey Lurie to make this offseason. But let's say hypothetically that Lurie, over the past 3 years, has recognized there's got to be one big move to take. It's not getting rid of all three of Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, and Carson Wentz, but let's say he says one of them's got to get the boot. Who goes? If it was me, if I had to get rid of just one, I think it would be Howie Roseman. Look, you guys know I've been a big Howie defender over the last two seasons. I love him as a salary cap guy. I think he's innovative. I think he's forward-thinking. He's aggressive. Those are three things I really want in a general manager. He constructed a Super Bowl roster, so you know that he can change. He definitely changed from when he got pretty much fired as GM in 2015, when he got demoted for Chip Kelly, and when he came back as GM in 2016, that was a different guy. That was a different GM than the first Howie Roseman. So I like that, and I know that he can have success in this league as a GM, for sure. And he's a master. I mean, he is really good at trading. I mean, you saw he ripped off the Lions with this Darius Slay trade. He ripped off the Dolphins with that Jay Ajayi trade. I like that he's aggressive, and he kind of started the trade era of the NFL. So there's a lot of things in Roseman that I really do like, and it's not that I want him to be fired, but I think at the same time, between him, Doug, and Carson, I think Howie would be the one you could justify the most letting go. Eventually, and look, a lot of his draft picks, his free agent moves in the last 3 years, you guys have heard me on the podcast, I've liked a lot of his moves. I've liked the mindset. I've liked the philosophy of it. I like them targeting speed this year in the draft and going for upside rather than just straight college production, a.k.a. Danelle Pumphrey and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And I think it's really tough. I sympathize with Howie, too, because a lot of the roster that he's trying to build, you just have never seen at full strength because of all the injuries. So that's a tough part, too. Like, his whole wide receiver core he tried to build this year, they all got injured, and Marquise Goodwin opted out. So a lot of the time, his artwork hasn't been able to really been placed on the canvas because the canvas just keeps getting destroyed. But eventually, you can't just use that as an excuse. Eventually, even if you say at the time in March and April, I liked the signing, I liked the draft pick, eventually it's got to actually work out. And since 2017, a lot of the moves have not. And the ones that have, those players are thriving elsewhere now. You look at LJ Fort and how he is thriving as a starting linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. How badly could the Eagles use LJ Fort right now? And the Eagles, Howie Roseman got rid of him for a compensatory pick and to sign Orlando Scandrick. He cut guys like Chandon Sullivan at cornerback, who's thriving now with the 3-0 Green Bay Packers. Rasul Douglas is the 10th highest graded cornerback through the first 3 weeks of the season, according to Pro Football Focus. Howie Roseman cut both of those guys. You see guys like Devontae Bosby thriving elsewhere. And maybe that's on Jim Schwartz. Maybe that's on not on Howie. Maybe, you know, Schwartz was never going to play those guys and just didn't believe in them. So Howie had no choice but to get rid of them. And again, I said Schwartz has say personnel wise, but Howie picks those players. Howie's got to know what guys fit on this defense. And those players, maybe they did fit, but you just didn't give them an opportunity to. And again, maybe that's on Schwartz, but you got to give Howie a lot of the fall on that too. It's the same thing with, like, you can't just give Joe Douglas all the blame for the draft picks since 2017. I think Howie Roseman has final say. He allowed, maybe it was Joe Douglas's move, but he allowed the Eagles to select J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over D.K. Metcalf. And that error is killing this football team right now. I know a lot of people are sick of that, the J.J. Metcalf talk, but it is significant. D.K. Metcalf is third this year in receiving yards. He had more on two plays than J.J. has in his entire career. You look at his draft classes, Howie Roseman, 2017. Outside of Derek Barnett, they're all gone, or one is the worst linebacker in football in Nate Geary. 2019, too, you have no idea what you have in Andre Dillard. Miles Sanders is a stud, so you give him that. But J-Jaw is a bust. Sharif Miller is not on the team anymore, your fourth-round draft pick. Not a lot of those day three picks panned out. You didn't get a lot of undrafted kids to really produce. Eventually, these moves have to work. Even the 2020 draft, I like it on paper. Who has stepped up? Jalen Reagor was playing well, but he got hurt. You look at the second round, they've picked a backup quarterback, which might be the reason that your franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz is now broken. Davian Taylor can't get on the field over Nate Geary and Duke Riley. Kayvon Wallace can't get on the field over Jalen Mills, and I don't think that's his fault, but or Marcus Epps. Sean Bradley's not out there. You know, Quez Watkins is hurt. Eventually, even if you like it, at the moment of the signing or the trade or the pick, it's got to work out eventually. At receiver two, again, yes, I feel bad for Howie because his entire, every move he's made, it's not that he hasn't tried to build around Carson Wentz over his career, because he certainly has. But, and things just injuries, age, even the young kids like Reagor get hurt. But eventually, again, some of them have to work out. And none of them have. Mike Wallace didn't work. Even really, Torrey Smith didn't work. You know, Alshon Jeffrey did. That was a good signing. But before that, you traded for Doriel Green Beckham. For Dennis, you traded Dennis Kelly away, who you could use on the offensive line right now. You traded him away for Doriel Green Beckham, who's not in the league anymore. You let Josh Huff start. Not in the league anymore. Who else? Golden Tate. That trade did not work. Nelson Agholor became a bust. Although I love what he did in 2017, he wasn't a guy Carson could rely on consistently all year round. Mac Hollins did not work out. DeSean Jackson has not worked. And now Jalen Reagor is hurt. Nothing he has done has worked for Carson. He passed on trading for DeAndre Hopkins, a true elite number one wide receiver. He passed on trading for a Stephon Diggs. The Bills got Stephon Diggs. They thought of that first and got Josh Allen, a true number one receiver. The Cardinals did the same thing for Kyler Murray, getting him DeAndre Hopkins. Howie Roseman has not been able to get that guy for Carson Wentz. Hopefully that's Jalen Reagor, but again, I like the moves he made. I loved them bringing back DeSean. I loved them bringing in Jalen Reagor. I liked the Mike Wallace signing. I liked most of what he did, even trading for Golden Tate. I liked how aggressive he was in saying, we're going all in still around number 11. Howie is not the New York Jets, and how they've built around Sam Darnold and just neglected the offensive side of the football. Howie has tried everything, but eventually it's got to work, or you have to be held accountable, regardless of why it did not work. Howie, though, I'll say, he's not going to be the one that gets fired. Jeffrey Lurie loves Howie Roseman. I think Howie is here for as long as he wants to be honest with you. I think between Roseman, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, the first person to go, based on signs over the offseason, based on right now the feeling that I'm getting, Doug Peterson would be the first to go. I mean, you already saw the story Jeff McClain posted in the offseason about how Lurie was losing faith in Doug Peterson's philosophy on offense and how he made Doug fire Carson Walsh and Mike Groh and how they wanted this new construction of the offensive coaching staff, bringing in guys like Scangarello and, you know, promoting Press Taylor and bringing back Marty Morningweg. They wanted a lot of concepts from Sean McVay's offense brought in, from Kyle Shanahan's, a lot more play action, more than just Doug Peterson's West Coast philosophy. And so they've already shown signs of doubting Doug. Doug has already shown signs of being frustrated that they don't let him make the decisions on his coaching staff, right? So I think, although I think he deserves it the least because Peterson has been the main reason for this team's success compared to Howie and Carson over the last 3 years, he's been that one consistent thing that they've been able to rely on. I do think, based on Wentz's contract, based on Howie's relationship with Lurie, and based on the signs that we're already getting, unfortunately, because I want Doug Peterson still as his head coach, as bad as his decisions have been the first 3 weeks of the season, as inconsistent as he has been over the last three seasons, I want him as the head coach. I still think he is the guy for the job. But if they were going to make a drastic choice about getting rid of somebody, ladies and gentlemen, I think it would be Doug Peterson. Louis DiBiase joining you on the Saturday edition of Locked On Eagles, and it's brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money, right? That you can use for another important thing, like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership when you can find hundreds of manufacturers on rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. It's a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Make sure you go to rockauto.com to shop for your auto or body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Eagles fans, Louis DiBiase wrapping up episode 5 this week on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So look, I don't think Howie Roseman gets fired. I don't think Doug Peterson gets fired this year. I don't think Carson Wentz gets benched or traded. I still think, although there's questions now about those three, about all three, I still think they're the core of this organization still, at least for another year. I don't think any get the boot yet. I still think there's going to be drastic steps taken this offseason to make changes by the owner, Jeffrey Lurie. Maybe that's bringing in another Joe Douglas for Howie, another, you know, second-hand man, right-hand man, I should say. Maybe Doug Peterson loses play-calling duty, although Doug at that point might have it. Like, he might be done at that point because you already took away his control basically to choose, you know, who his coordinators and coaches are. If you take away his play calling too, man, that Peterson might leave instead of you firing him. But maybe that's a decision they make. Maybe, again, it's bringing in somebody like a new Joe Douglas for Howie Roseman. Maybe it's keeping Carson Wentz on a shorter leash and actually thinking about Jalen Hurts and his future. I don't think that's the move you should take, nor that they will. But I think regardless, whether it's firing one of those big three, whether it's firing Jim Schwartz, whether it's, again, bringing in another Joe Douglas or, you know, stripping Doug Peterson of his play-calling control, maybe it is benching Carson Wentz for a game or two. I don't know what it is, but I think regardless of the 2020 season, this offseason is going to be different. There's going to be change. You know, things are going to be switched up for sure because you can tell that whatever they're doing right now is not working. At least it's not working consistently. It might work based on the division you're in and based on how many teams make the playoffs. And maybe some things are working, a lot of your core that can elevate you enough to make the playoffs. But whatever you did in 2017, whatever it was that was going to make you a consistent Super Bowl contender, that's not there anymore. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's just staying healthy. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But that's not there. And so that's the question that Lurie needs to ask is, what is that thing I need to do to get back to that? Because, yes, I still think they have the blueprint. I still think they have the talent, the coaches, the quarterback to consistently be a playoff contender. ask yourself, is this team a consistent championship contender? Because that's what we thought this was going to be. That's what we thought this was going to be after 2017. And I don't see that. And so the question's got to be, what do we have to do to get back to that? And I don't think you're going to find out in 2020. I think it's in the offseason is when the changes are really going to be made. Louis DiBiase joining you on the Saturday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to the show on any podcast platform. 4 to 6 episodes a week being downloaded into your phone. You can also listen to the show on LockedOnEagles.com. And we're always talking birds on Twitter after the podcast. At DiBiaseLOE is where you can find me. And you can find my co-host Gino Camilleri on Twitter at Gino_LOE. I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go birds.